Good morning, friends.
Good morning.
I greet each of you in the name of Jesus Christ to our worship service today. I also greet all of you who are listening on Facebook Live and later this evening on the radio. We are so glad that you have joined us in worship. Friends, one announcement directly following this worship service, we will have a brief congregational meeting to elect our slate of officers. So for those who are members, please stick around for that. And now let us continue our worship.
Good morning. Let us stand in body or spirit in our call to worship. Eternal wisdom, word of God.
You came to save us by your birth.
When time was drawing to a close,
you came to share.
Now let your light shine in our hearts.
And may your love within us burn.
Protect us from all sinful thoughts.
May we each day your love return.
Most loving Father, hear our plea.
You rule your world with equity.
Together with your only Son.
And with your Spirit, three in one. Amen.
Let us now come to the one who forgives us through his grace and our call to confession. A voice cries,
"In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord.
Make straight in the desert a highway for our God.
Let us prepare by confessing our sins,
that we may observe an advent of prayer
and waiting."
Let us pray. Blessed and eternal God, with the gift of this morning's light and the mysterious and beautiful music that invites us into the great drama of Christmas, it's sometimes easy to forget, O God, that it all began in a cattle trough, in a barn, in a lowly, far corner of this world. And so, God, we are surrounded by the beauty of a tree and trimmings and candles. But help us to acknowledge, O God, that this started under the indifferent gaze of cattle. And so forgive us, God. Forgive us for forgetting that the meaning of Christmas is that you chose a 15-year-old Near East ancient Palestinian girl to change the world. And that the message that broke the night sky was one of peace. Peace for those who are forgotten. Hope for those who despair. Food for those who hunger. And so, God, help us to embrace the true meaning of Christmas. And forgive us for the ways in which we make it just too tidy, just too sparkly. May we never forget the grit. May we never forget the humble beginning. And may we welcome that child into our hearts, O God. And so forgive us, O God. Forgive us for trying to control the radical notion that Christmas is when you draw close to us, not when we draw close to what we want Christmas to be. And now, O God, hear the silent prayers of our hearts as we continue to confess to you those sins that weigh heavily upon us. Amen. Friends, will you please stand for the assurance? Friends, who is in a position to condemn us? Only Christ Jesus. And Christ Jesus died for us. Christ Jesus forgives us. Christ Jesus rose in power with his resurrection for us. And so I declare to you in his name that we are forgiven. And now let us share the peace. The peace of God be with you. Amen. Share that peace with someone. I think we're getting better. Friends, we light this candle as a sign of the coming light of Christ. Advent means coming. We are preparing ourselves for the days.
The wolf shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the loin and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them.
Thank you, Lord.
Let us pray. Eternal God, you taught us that the night is far spent and the day is at hand. Keep us awake and alert, watching for your kingdom, and make us strong in faith, so that when Christ comes in glory to judge the earth, we may joyfully give him praise. Amen.
Salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed.
The night is far gone.
The day is near. Amen. Friends, in gratitude for the many and varied ways that God continually blesses our life, let us return but a portion to the Lord in our tithes and our offerings. Friends, we do no longer pass the plate in the midst of the congregation, but we do have plates on that entrance and that entrance as you go out or as you come in. Let us pray. God, thank you so much that you have opened your hand and given us all the good things that we need. Help us to say thank you, to say thank you with our time and our talents and our treasure, to further your kingdom and to spread the joy and peace of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Friends, let us stand for the doxology.
Thank you.
Please prepare your hearts for the hearing of the Word of God. Let us pray. Lord God, please open our ears to hear, our minds to understand, our eyes to see, and our hearts to love, as we now hear your word proclaimed to us. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
Our first scripture reading comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 61, verses 1 through 4 and 8 through 11. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. In my faithfulness, I will reward my people and make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be known among the nations, and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them will acknowledge that they are a people the Lord has blessed. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God, for he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness, as a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with jewels. For as the soil makes the sprout come up, and a garden causes seeds to grow, so the Sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Friends, and now a reading from the Gospel according to St. Luke. The first chapter, starting in verse 46 and going until verse 55, let us listen for the word of the Lord. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely, from now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in their thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." The word of the Lord. The Magnificat, the Anime Dei Dominum. In the Latin, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." This is Mary's song, and it's a song of praise, and it's an edgy little ditty, is what I would call it. Mary's not singing about dewing the roses or having yourself a merry little Christmas. Mary's song doesn't even reference chestnuts roasting on an open fire. How glum. She's not kissing Santa Claus either. And she really doesn't care whether you'll be home for Christmas. Mary's song is about her soul. That deep part of her that gives all of her thoughts, actions, and feelings meaning. That part of her that looks out on creation with a deeper awareness of the sight, touch, smell, and hearing of her life. The soul looks beyond, within, and around. That's the part of her that's singing. You know, the soul's gaze can fall on everything, on life, on death, and all that which is in between. And Mary's soul is praising. What is praising? I think it's getting lost and wallowing in grace. I think it's savoring that which is beyond us. I think it's coming face to face with such an astounding goodness that you can't help but sing. Well, what is she praising? Well, it's about a God who gives the poor something good and sends the rich away empty. Is Mother Mary a socialist? Is the Virgin Mother hell-bent on class warfare? Is the Virgin Mary practicing economic redistribution? Sorry, things just got real with those questions, but you heard her song. So why is this sweet, little, faithful 15-year-old who carries the Messiah in her womb appearing to be a crazy political activist? What is all this talk with the rich and the poor? Why is Mary getting political? Can't we just sing Frosty the Snowman? Friends, I hate to say this, but I think there's a war on Christmas. I really do. But I'm here to tell you that it has nothing to do with calling Christmas trees holiday trees. Folks, I do think there's a war on Christmas, but it doesn't really matter what Starbucks puts on their cups. There is a war on Christmas. And the faithful side of that war are not the ones that like to rant the phrase, Jesus is the reason for the season. I hate theological slogans that rhyme. The war on Christmas is not about saying Merry Christmas. The war that is being waged is on the very meaning of Christmas. I mean, we have two choices. We can sing Mary's song of praise on behalf of the poor, or we can drop $500 at Best Buy while sneering Jesus is the reason for the season. I think what Mary is singing about is something that may help us in our present moment. You see, the Dow Jones Industrial will take care of the rich and send the poor away empty-handed. We know that. Friends, don't forget that the Federal Reserve, the World Bank, the board of directors of many corporations will always look out for the well-connected, the well-heeled, the well-fed. This is the way of the world that we live in. We should not be naive. We live in a world where congressmen, lobbyists, contractors, diplomats, teamsters, lawyers, and yes, pastors, take care of themselves. And they take care of those who've given them money. And I want you to know that I'm not here to stop that process or even condemn it. It is a waste of time to lament that people with money will pay other people so that they can increase their money. I mean, that's been going on since the first person minted a coin, slapped it on a wooden table, and made somebody do something. I don't think Mary wants us to be a wild-eyed revolutionary ready to storm Wall Street with a pitchfork. I think that'd be cool, but I'm not saying she's saying to do that. I think she's a human being who knows the way the world works. And I think she wants to sing about a God who looks after those who do not have the power to look after themselves. She wants a God who will intervene in this world to bring about justice, which in this case is to sort out what belongs to whom and then to give it to them. And as the saying goes, the apple does not fall far from the tree. So Jesus is much like his blessed mother. The Isaiah passage that we heard this morning was the passage that Jesus used for his first public sermon in the synagogue. And it is a story about feeding the hungry, giving the sick wellness, the tired and overworked rest, the lonely and the miserable companionship and fellowship. You see, the coming of God in Jesus Christ is not a cute little story that can be fully contained by putting up a plastic nativity set on the lawn of the courthouse. The story of Jesus Christ, born of a virgin, is a story of God reversing the world's sorrows, standing up for the poor, siding with the sick. The true story of Christmas is not what you call the tree or how you greet one another on the street. The true meaning of Christmas is not even about where you can display a nativity set. The true, lasting, and ever-enduring message of Christmas is the hard-to-swallow notion that God sides with those who are poor and cast down and asks us to do the same. Now, friends, so many of us find it hard to sing that song of Mary. But you know, Christmas may vanish from American culture, but it won't be because of the Supreme Court. You see, Christmas may vanish, but that's going to happen when people stop loving and caring for the poor. That's when Christmas ends. That's when Mary's song dies. And it will not matter how many times you say Merry Christmas or where you get to display the nativity set. Christmas is when we fill those who have so little with something good, because Christ has given us mercy and love and forgiveness. Now, I'm part of the problem, I think, with my theology, because I'm no different than the opposition. I think Christmas is under attack as well. And, you know, that's just such a dog and pony show, isn't it? It's just a war of words, and it's a shadow, a phantom, a distraction. It's a way to sell clicks and feel important and look persecuted. But listen to the words of Pope Francis, who spoke boldly when he said, "The stock market can go up or down a few points, and the media reports on it for hours upon hours, but if a homeless person dies of the cold, no one hears and no one cares." Well, who says that's okay? When did that happen? There are countless medieval paintings to the Virgin Mother. It would seem that the Virgin Mary spoke to so many during that period. Mother Mary spoke to many a wild-eyed medieval mystic, people known to wear hair shirts. Now, I will get to what a hair shirt is. Just stay with me. But a mystic is a person so hungry for the presence of God that they're willing to put up with just about anything in order to stay focused on God. Now, a hair shirt is a piece of clothing worn right next to your skin, which rubs you raw and makes you feel uncomfortable. You see, to them, being spiritual means putting discomfort next to your skin, to always remind you to not become too comfortable. The idea is that suffering produces spiritual intimacy with God. And I want you to know, in my life and in many of our lives, we've made Christmas about comfort. Yet we know from Mary's song that Christmas is about the lonely and the hurting. Medieval mystics would do some strange things, friends. They would walk on hot coals. They would sleep on a bed of nails. They would fast for weeks. They would sleep on the floor, sit on the top of a column in the hot sun for months. They would walk barefoot for thousands of miles, live in the woods, beg for bread, never marry, take a vow of silence, poverty, chastity, and even whip themselves with cords. I think that we shouldn't do any of those things. But they did live a consecrated lifestyle that was different than everyone else. You see, for these wild-eyed medieval mystics, living in a land where everyone is Christian means that no one is Christian. And so they sought to stand out, make hard choices, and deny themselves things in order to become people of discipline and faith. Now, it may look strange to us, but for them it was a practical way to live. Friends, we should find ways to remember the uncomfortable message of Christmas. You see, Mary's song is uncomfortable. It rubs us wrong. It shows us that Christmas is not about us. It's not about our comfort. It's about justice for those who are too tired, too poor, too lonely, and too hungry to find a place to sleep. Amen. Friends, if you are able, will you please stand and let us affirm our faith, saying together the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived of the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning. It is good to be with all of you again this morning, and we now turn our attention to your prayers, your concerns, and your joys that you may have this morning. And so does anyone have anything they'd like to share? Yes, Ellen.
I have special prayers
for my grandson Cole. Tuesday he goes to Ohio State for chest on his liver. Yeah, so Cole's name is listed on the bulletin this morning. We added him because, yes, he is going to have some tests on his liver. And so continue to pray for then Cole Michael Casey. Others? Yes, Jan. Prayers for Keith. And what's the last name, Jan?
Connors.
Thank you. Okay. Yes, Julie. Paul Bricker, I spoke to Andy this week, and Paul's doing well. He is at his daughter's in Columbus now, staying with her. But Andy said he's doing pretty good. But they just thought it was better that he would stay with her for a while. Okay.
I have one.
Yes.
Julie. It's a prayer of gratitude that we're able to meet and worship together on this third Sunday to celebrate the third candle of Advent of joy.
Yeah, so she's saying it's good that we're still able to gather. So hopefully that'll continue, that we're able to continue. Anyone else? Let us pray. Grateful, loving God, it is with joy that we come into your presence. It is with joy that we're able to come and to raise praises and thanksgivings to your name. It is with joy that we come and surrender ourselves to you and your loving grace. And it is with joy that we come to pray and to uplift so many who continue to be on our hearts and our minds that need your touch, that need your healing, that need your strength, that need your friendship. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would intercede in each one of these individuals' lives that are currently on our list, and those that have been spoken here, and those who were not uplifted but are on our hearts and our minds. And we pray for your healing to be poured out upon all of those who are hurting. We pray for strength and comfort upon so many families that are dealing with the loss of a dear loved one. And we pray for those who are struggling emotionally and or maybe spiritually. And we would pray that the joy of your Son Jesus would just overwhelm them right now while we are all praying together. We are so thankful for this time of year that we are able to come and remember not only the birth, but we also remember the sacrifice of your Son and his willingness to go to the cross to pay for the price of our sin. And so we give thanks. We also give thanks, Lord, for this church, this community which you've placed us all to live and serve in, this free nation which we are a part of. And Lord, it does continue to remain free because of sacrifice of so many who give of themselves. Those who serve in the armed forces, those who serve on our police, fire, and EMS protection, we pray for them. We pray for their safety, and we pray for their families who are separated from their loved ones. For we ask all of these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, the one who taught his disciples to pray, beginning, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen."
Friends, go into the world with the deep joy and peace of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.